Hello and welcome to the Things They Talked About episode 2. This is AJ Rodriguez.
This is Brophy.
This is JJ.
This is Michael.
And today we're going to talk about the things they carried. Brophy?
I had the first chapter, which is the first chapter in our segment, which is enemies. So this chapter goes into detail about two characters in the book that are Lee Strunk and Dave Jensen. And yes. Lee Strunk ultimately takes Dave's knife, and Dave beats him down for it and breaks his nose. So when Lee Strunk returns from getting his nose fixed up, there's this tension between the two the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, why does he feel his brother in war is gonna kill him while he's out at war?
Well, it's war. You never really know. There is no answer. There's no right or wrong. So if someone just takes your knife, without you knowing, you're automatically in self-defense mode because you don't know what's happening or going through their mind. You don't know what they've seen, or you've probably seen what they saw and know that they're probably going crazy. So automatically, yeah. Self-defense.
Yeah, war is it really comes down the common ground. He stole my thing, I have to get him back, and just the basics of it.
In the beginning, these soldiers, they don't have a lot with them. They don't carry much. So I think when something little like that gets stolen, they take
it as
a serious deal because they don't have much with them.
Do you think it was do you think he could have handled the situation? Because eventually Dave starts freaking out about thinking that Lee Strunk is gonna really mess with, or really kill him because he broke his nose, and so he starts freaking out and panicking. So do you think do you think that he could have handled it much better rather than freaking out? And do you think he could have just talked to him and been done with it?
Yeah, he should have confessed that he took the knife. I don't think it's really that such a big deal, right?
Well, it's out here. Dave, Lee took the knife from Dave.
Yeah.
So Dave broke his nose.
Is there a way he could have handled it?
But because he broke his nose, he's scared what Lee's going to do back to him.
I would be a little upset if I was both of them, because I could have talked to him and be hey, yo, put my knife down. And if I was the other dude and got my nose broken, I'd be hey, you broke my nose. Prepare to die. So, and there's a lot of ways you could have handled it better. If he wasn't giving it back, then, break his nose, but you could have talked to him at first.
All right, next question. So we know how O'Brien says that, there's not many symbols, if any, in his book. So with this scene exactly with Dave and Lee, do you think you can compare Dave to a nervous soldier and can compare Lee to the war with how he's dealing with it? Because Dave is very Dave is very taken back, he's super nervous from now on about hey, what's Lee gonna do to me? Do you think there's a symbolic thing there at all, or do you think it's just what played out?
Yeah, they're
scared now.
Yeah, there could be a symbolic thing there.
But I'm no professional English teacher like Miss McGinnis, so I'm not quite sure.
That's very true. Miss McGinnis is probably one of the best. But
happy birthday, by the way.
Back to the question. It could be taken as a symbolic thing, how there's PTSD that soldiers have after the war, and there's always soldiers always freaking out during war. And Michael, have anything to add?
I don't think it was symbolic. I think it was just
straight up
fight argument that they had.
Little boy to boy thing.
Yeah.
I get it. All right. JJ, your questions.
Well, I had the next chapter, which was Friends. It's about the same characters, the same people, Dave Jensen and Lee Strunk. And in the chapter, Dave Jensen and Lee Strunk both, they make up basically after the whole knife situation.
Yes.
And they make a signed agreement that if one of them was seriously wounded, the other guy would have to put them out of their misery. So do you think you would have the heart to kill your friend if they were seriously wounded, but still able to think and stuff?
I mean, this kind of takes me back to Avengers Infinity War, when Quill had to kill Gamora because Thanos got her, and he had the heart to do it. So I feel, and he was in love with her. So I feel like if it was me, I would, you know, I'd have to get the courage. If he was, you know, if he was telling me, like, don't do it, I would never be able to do it. But if he was saying, yo, AJ, I love you, this life was great, you know, just help me out here, then, you know, I might have to get the courage and do it.
Oh, but in the chapter, I think it was, I forgot, it was Strunk that got a shot. He says repeatedly, like, don't kill me. But, like, he's actually, like, his legs are blown off and everything. So do you think he still would be able to, or...
I mean, if he's seriously injured and I'm like everything's gone from his body and he's saying like, and you know that he's going to either bleed out soon or not going to make it, then I don't know.
I think it's tough, but like we know, like after reading the book, like we know that he dies in the flight back. Mm-hmm. So like if I knew he was going to die in the flight back, sure, I'd do it. But like, again, like that's like a in the moment situation where like it's kind of a toss up, like what you would do.
Because
you never, yeah.
Nice.
I probably wouldn't kill him. I would just let him go deal with the pain. Mm-hmm. And see if he survives later on. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
a good question.
So as Brophy was saying, later in the chapter, Strunk gets after his legs are blown off, Strunk gets carried in a helicopter, and later in that helicopter ride he dies. And then it goes to say that Jensen has like a relief on his shoulders. Like, it's like a burden taken off from him. So, do you think that Jensen should have honored their moral code in that with their agreement and should have just killed Strunk right then and there? Or do you think he should have listened to what Strunk said at that time and just let him die later on?
Well, I thought the whole weight off his shoulders thing was kind of confusing. Because I was like, I feel like it would be like, I guess it was kind of a weight off his shoulder. But I feel like knowing, wait, can you say the question one more time?
So do you think that Jensen should have honored their code and their agreement and should have killed Strunk right then and there? Or do you think that he should have let Strunk, or he should have listened to Strunk and not kill him and just, you know, let him live his life as like,
so she killed him or not have killed him?
I think in that case you should have killed him. I feel like the weight off his chest is kind of like showing that he feels that he like shouldn't have killed him. But I think he probably should have in that case.
I feel like it's way better that he didn't, kind of. Because like it's one less person that he's killed, and that's always like better for his state. So I feel like it was good that he didn't, but you know he should have honored his agreement with him. But it was just a tough situation, so I had to be in the moment.
What side are you choosing?
With the one he didn't kill him.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have killed him. So, because he's right, it did take a lot of weight off his shoulder because he wasn't going to finish words saying, like, oh, I killed my best friend. Because later on, his best friend, it was his time to come, so he died on the helicopter.
Yeah, because I feel like he would always, maybe if he did kill him, go back in his mind and be like, what if he lived?
Exactly, yeah.
He, you know.
So he knew that at the end of the day, his body couldn't take it and his best friend died.
Yeah.
Right. Next chapter.
That's me. That's AJ Rodriguez. I had How to Tell a True War Story, and in this chapter, they talk about Rat and how he would go on extra and do things no one else would do and go do all the dangerous stuff, and they're saying how he was extra strong and he was good crazy, not like too bad crazy. And my question is, if you were in war, would you go all out and do the things that are extremely dangerous, or would you do like the bare minimum and slide away and get what you have done and not have to go extra?
If I was in war, I'm gonna just do what I gotta do. Like, I'm gonna follow the mission. I'm not gonna try to be extra, or at the same time, I'm not gonna do the minimum. I just wanna get it over with and
do what you got.
Yeah, I did agree with Michael. Just try to survive and keep to myself, but also while trying to help others, but also trying to not get everyone killed at the same time.
Same as them, but I feel like, again, like it's a moment thing. Like, I feel like if you're there, it's totally different than what you would think. So, like, you would probably do the opposite of what you would think. So, like, in my case, like, I wouldn't, I don't know. I think it would just kind of just play it by how it goes and see how it
is there, and you would decide by then. Because I feel like it's not really like a decide. I feel like it's a, it just happens.
And my next question. The chapter really explains how to tell a war story. And if you were in war and seeing some of the horrible things that you saw and encounters, would you go to your family and tell the horrible stories, or would you keep it to yourself so they wouldn't have to know some of the things that you went through?
I would write about it if I really want to get it off my mind and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then if people want to read it, then yeah, they can read it. But I'm not just going to go around telling my family or friends what I've been through.
Yeah, if it's something they ask, I would tell them. But if it's nothing, if it's something not being brought up or anything, you know, I just keep it to myself until like the time comes to talk about it and just. Yeah,
I agree. I wouldn't say anything unless it's really needed. But I agree with Michael with the whole. I love the writing thing, like trying to get something off your chest. I like that a lot. That's good.
And then I had another chapter because I decided to go a little extra today, and my chapter was dentist. And in the beginning of the chapter, it explains how Kurt Lemon was killed and how Tim was finding it hard to mourn. Do you think with all the deaths that they encounter, you would ever stop feeling bad?
No, I think I would always have that feeling of, oh man, you know, they're dead. It's like, especially when someone else dies close to you, I think it's like the same feeling that, you know, you always miss them, and you're like, you never forget them, and what do you guys have with each other?
Yeah, having a best friend or just somebody close in general die, that's always going to, like, be with you. And as you can see, these soldiers, they're all each other, like, they're all they got. They depend on each other, and that's really it. So I could see why it was hard for him to mourn.
It was hard for him to find the feeling to mourn. Like he wasn't getting upset.
Well, I feel like in the time or like what I feel like. You don't have the time to mourn. Like you can't mourn, because like you gotta focus on so much more stuff. And like, yeah, something just happened, but like you can't let that happen to you. Like you gotta forget about it and move on. I feel like there's just no time to mourn, and there's not enough. Like there's too much going on to the point where you can't mourn, or like it happens so often to the point where, yeah, they, like you lose the ability to mourn for it almost.
And then the chapter was also talking about, you know, dentist and Lemon, and how he was afraid to go to the dentist, and the first time he went into the tent, he fainted, and everyone was laughing at him because, like, it's embarrassing. Later that night, Lemon went in the tent and made the dentist take out a tooth because he was, like, being bullied or whatever. Do you think he did it for respect, to prove something, or maybe both?
Like, probably for both, like, for himself, almost. I think mostly for himself, but sure, it kind of symbolic, it kind of shows like, hey, that he's kind of like standing up for himself and like what was going on.
Yeah, I think he's trying to show like the other guys that, you know, he's capable of doing this and he's not like weaker than them or something. And like, he's also, I think he's mainly doing it for himself, that he can prove to himself that he can do it and he's able to overcome that fear.
I think he did it like more for respect than for himself, because if like his friends never laughed at him, he probably would never got his tooth taken out. But yeah, I think he did it for respect.
Alright. Next chapter.
I had chapter 9, which was the sweetheart chapter. And my first question is, war is just a bunch of stories with more stories in them. Do you believe that most of the soldiers, like Rat Kylie, lies to feel superior among the group of men, like when he tells his stories?
Maybe.
Yes, because maybe. He's trying to sound like he's up there and he's been through the most, and like he's gone
definitely
through everything.
It's a possibility. We'll never know, but I feel like a probability would be like 60%, but I like, it's again, it's a toss up, like you'll never actually know. So
yeah, I feel like telling your own story, like you have that sense of, you know, you want to seem better than everyone else when you're explaining it to others, and
it's like
you don't want to seem
like with the fish and how he was saying it was a big fish but it was really a little fish.
Yeah, sure. Next question.
So later on in that chapter, Mary Ann shows up to Vietnam And why do you think she shows up? And do you think her and Fosse will stay together and continue their relationship?
I think Fosse and Marianne will stay together in a relationship because in the chapter, Marianne says how, or Fosse tells Marianne how she should go home, back home and stuff. But Marianne's like, no, I want to stay, blah, blah, blah. But I think that dedication from Marianne, even though Fosse's in the war, that, you know, that it proves that she wants to be together.
Yeah, they both need each other in that sense where, you know, like, they need each other's love. Brophy?
I feel like, but she should go home because, like, sure, like, they need to be there for each other, but she doesn't, like, belong there, and, like, it's clear about that. So I feel like she should go home and just let it play out because, it just doesn't fit. Like, she probably shouldn't be there.
Damn. I think that was the worst.
Thanks, Michael.
I also had chapter 10, which is called Stockings. So
that was a good one. I like that one.
Henry Dobbins has his good look charm, or charms, which are the stockings and pantyhoses he keeps around his shoulders or neck. If you were out in war, what would you always carry and keep around you at all times for good luck?
I think I would carry a cross, maybe. Yeah, maybe not jewelry, because I have a superstition of, like, if I have jewelry on, something goes bad. But I'd want to carry probably, like, something that my family and I like to do. So maybe, like, cards or something, you know. Keys to a Ferrari.
Yeah, I think I would carry, like, a photo just to, like, remind myself of what, like, who's close to me and why I'm doing this. Like, the people I love and stuff. And, like, also probably carry, like, a cross or, like, a Bible for religious reasons and, you know, keeping close with God.
I'm definitely the opposite with AJ. I definitely carry, like, at least a necklace or a couple bracelets just, like, because that's super symbolic for me and I've always done that. So I feel like I definitely carry, like, certain, like, jewelry that, like, means a lot to me.
All right. Second question. Dobbin's girlfriend ends up breaking up with him, but he still uses his stockings and says the magic doesn't go away. Do you think he will end up paying the price later in war, and will the luck run out since he's no longer, since she's no longer in his life?
No, I don't think the luck will run out. I don't think, because he personally believes that, you know, the magic is still there, and, like, if that strives him to do greater and, like, be better, then, you know, let him do it. And yeah, no.
Yeah, I just think it's whatever pushes him. So if that's what pushes him, then no, the luck will not run out.
It's whatever he thinks. Like, if he, like, with the whole luck thing, like, it doesn't really apply unless he believes it. So whatever he believes, whatever he strives for, like, that's all he really needs. He doesn't need the quote-unquote luck of it. He just needs to believe there's something there.
Was that it? All right. Thank you for listening to the things they talked about.